Mufti Sahab, assalamualaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. From my side, much better, Maulana.
It's crystal clear, mashaAllah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Gee, Maulana, inshallah, today, you know, we've been very close to the Mubarak day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram. Maybe we should speak a little bit on some aspects of Ashura. What does Maulana feel?
Sure. Good stuff. And I think the most relevant question everybody's asking is that what is it meant by spending?
Yes, that is a very important question, Maulana. I think maybe we should just start off on that note there.
Gee.
You see, the wording that comes in the riwayat is مَوَّسَّعَ عَلَىٰ عَيَالِهِ فِي النَّفَقَةِ وَسَّعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. The one who expands his expenditure on his family on this day of Ashura, Allah Ta'ala will expand his sustenance for the rest of that year for that particular person. This is the wording. Right? So it means about expanding his expenditure on his family or spending on his family. The one who spends freely or generously on his family on the day of Ashura, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expand or grant to him his sustenance generously throughout the rest of the year. This is the gist of that riwayat, the hadith. And this is something that is established. This is many riwayat of various sahaba to this effect. There's the riwayat of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So it's not that this is something that is just an innovation or a baseless or an unfounded thing. There is indeed a basis for it, and it is founded, and therefore the scholars have done the process of authentication of this particular narration. So what it actually denotes is that one should spend on the family, on his immediate family particularly, the reference is to them. He should spend generously on them because it is established from the ahadith. Some ulama have gone quite into detail in analyzing every hadith or riwayah relating to this particular topic. And there is a particular principle we find in the science of hadith, and that is if there's weakness in individual chains of narration, but there are several chains, and if they are all gathered and put together, they will acquire a degree of strength and credibility. So this is the very important principle regarding, especially when it comes to virtues of deeds, etc., that even if there is weakness in a narration, but collectively, if we take a lot of weak narrations, they will acquire a degree of strength, which is sufficient to establish a practice upon. So this is one important principle that must be borne in mind. It's a technical matter, mainly, for academic discussion amongst the ulama. They go into the depths of these discussions, and they have difference of views on these things. And what we find is that this is the principles of the muhaddithin, the scholars of hadith particularly, that even if there's a weakness in an individual narration because of the weakness in the chain of narrators, but if there's several narrations to that effect, then all of them may be individually weak, but put together they acquire a degree of strength. So this is the case with this particular narration also. It may be deemed weak in terms of the chain of narrators individually, but there are so many chains of narrations of this particular practice of spending on the family on the day of Ashura, that collectively it acquires a degree of strength, and therefore it is regarded as a legitimate and established practice. And if anyone makes amal on it, insha'Allah ta'ala, it will definitely be a source of barakah and blessings.
Insha'Allah.
Now, we now go to the actual wording of the narration, and we see what is meant here. Before I mention that, I also want to just mention that there are great ulama in the past, great scholars, people like Sufyan bin Uyayna radiallahu ta'ala anhu rahmatullah alayhi, with great authority in hadith. It is mentioned about him that he used to say that I have been spending on my family like this on the day of Ashura for the last 50 to 60 years, and I've always seen its benefits.
Mm.
So it goes to show that great scholars of hadith also made amal on this, they practiced on it, and they saw the rewards and the benefit of it in the form of the barakah that came to the family, especially in the times we are living in, the economic crunch, the economic crisis, the inflation, the economic depression, the meltdown, all these buzzwords that have been used these days, Maulana.
Mm.
In these times, it would be a source of great benefit for people to make amal on these type of narrations, in which whereby they can acquire the barakah and blessings, and this is for a whole year. So we can imagine how good and beneficial it will be for people to practice on that, to take and to acquire that barakah. One should make amal and practice on these type of virtues so that one can gain that benefit, and one must do it with full conviction, and then inshallah we will see the benefit of it.
Inshallah.
Now, as far as the act itself of spending, the reference is to ala ayalihi.
Hmm.
Right. So it refers to one's dependence. Ayal is your dependence or your closest family, those who are under your care, who depend on you for support. You live in one household. It's the references to the wife, it's to the minor children, to the major children also who live in the same household, maybe parents living in that same household. These are who are elderly, so he's now taking care of them. This would be the concept of ayal in Arabic. So this is what is meant in the hadith, that your kith and kin, your nearest family members, those who live in the same home, to take care of them, to spend on them. The reference is particularly to those close family members, those who one take, who's under one's care. And what it says is that one who is generous on them in this particular day, one who expands his sustenance on them in this particular day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous with him. So this refers to being generous to whatever needs they may have. It could be in any form. It refers primarily to, the tablecloth, whatever a person puts on the table in terms of, the meals that are prepared, the some delicacies, some extra, some what you would call, some goodies, as they were referred to it as. Something which you don't normally eat every day, buying some things like that and presenting it on the table for the family to enjoy. The reference is primarily to that. But it doesn't necessarily only mean that it has to be in the form of food.
Hmm.
It can be other things that they require. The family may need. It could even be in the form of clothing, for example, if they require some clothing. So you bought them some clothing on that day. So it could refer to that. It could refer to whatever other things are required, little things that are required in the home. If a person bought it with that intention of being expanding on his family on that particular day, then that would also be in order. So however, one must be very careful about two things, and that is he should not go into debt now. He should not be extravagant and lavish, wasteful. This is not the way of Islam. It doesn't keep in, for example, a person goes and buys so many things that are absolutely unnecessary or that nobody will even eat, and it could get spoiled and it may have to be thrown away. That's extravagant. A person went and bought a whole box of bananas, for example, for his family. Obviously, it has a limited life shelf life. So you eat a little and that is it. The rest of it, okay, you can say that it can be given away to somebody. Well and good. But one should not be so extravagant that now you can't finish. Sometimes it may be a prepared dish of some sort, even if it is some food that was bought or purchased. Now the family started eating and they couldn't finish it, and it was of such a nature that you can't give it to somebody else too, because they'll feel insulted. It's a half-completed meal. Eventually, it has to be almost thrown away, and that would be tantamount to wastage. So one should not incur a debt, for example, just to spend on the family on that day. Within your means, whatever is within your means, one must spend with that intention, and inshallah, it will suffice. One doesn't have to go out of his way trying to prove a point or to go out of your way to actually show that you are spending. There's no need to do that. Your intention suffices. If those that don't have the means, and even they buy one small thing, Allah Rabbul Izzat looks at the niyat and intention, and accordingly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant the reward to that person. So that is one thing to bear in mind, that one must not be extravagant or wasteful, or number two, to go into debts for that reason. And thirdly, there's no exchanging of gifts and so on, that, you know, the matter is exaggerated to the extent that we start emulating non-Muslim practices, like we find a Christmas gift and so on. People exchange Christmas gifts, so we say, okay, well, we don't exchange Christmas gifts, but we have Ashura gifts that are exchanged. There's no such a thing. In fact, Allah forbid, this concept must not become a commercialized thing, because then it will be regarded as an innovation in Islam. There are people who are now advertising wares and things on social media and elsewhere, you know, come and pick up your Ashura gift, and, you know, we specialize in Ashura gifts and so on. There is no such a thing as an Ashura gift. It's just merely spending a little extra on one's family. That is the concept of spending on the day of Ashura. So you'll go to the supermarket, you'll walk through the aisles, there's something that you know your family, your children like, so you'll buy that. Or if there's some things that are short at home, you buy some groceries and you add some delicacies, just in order to show that spirit of extra spending and generosity on this day. So with that intention, if you buy some little extra things, then alhamdulillah, this amal will be fulfilled and the benefits will accrue. And it doesn't refer to going, you know, to go on a shopping binge or a shopping spree to some mall and start, you know, buying all kinds of gifts in the name of Ashura gifts. And everybody's exchanging gifts on this day. This is something that has got no basis at all. So it is very important, this clarification and proper, you know, implementation of this practice, that it doesn't, you know, become distorted. people do not go overboard and distort a simple practice. This is a very simple practice. There's no complication. We should not complicate it. So just be careful, and if you find anybody giving things as gifts in the name of Ashura, then you should very politely explain to them that, look, this is not the correct thing. It should not be done like this. There is no basis for it. I found one person advertising something, your Ashura gifts we specialize in this, and we will laminate it, or we will, engrave it, and so on. So I wrote to that person a little message. I messaged that person to say that this is not correct. Please do not advertise in this manner that there's an Ashura gift that will be engraved and so on. This is not correct. So alhamdulillah, the person took understanding and replied to say that they would not anymore market things in this manner. See, this is a very important thing. We should be wary of even marketing things in under the name of Ashura, because then what we're doing is we're commercializing something, an important teaching of our deen, and deen should not be commercialized. Deen is pure, and it should be left in that manner. We should not commercialize the deen. Any stores or anyone who's doing this type of thing, they should be reminded in a polite manner not to do so. So this is as far as the issue of spending is concerned, Maulana. It's got nothing to do about even having a special meal prepared. It's about buying something on the day of Ashura. People ask, for example, I saw in one group in a light-hearted manner, one person asked, so when must I give my family the Ashura chow?
Sure.
So I actually smiled when I read it, because, it made it sound as if there has to be a meal served on Ashura, and he was wanting to know when must the Ashura chow or meal should be presented, on the night before or the night after. So it's got nothing to do about, it's not about cooking any particular dish or a meal or taking your family out for a outing, for taking them to some restaurant for an outing, for having some kind of meal. It's not about that. It's really about buying something on the day of Ashura. Whether it was eaten on the day of Ashura or some other day, that is not important. The important thing was to have spent on one's family on that day. You bought something for them on that particular day. They can then use it or consume it whenever it's appropriate. It doesn't have to be on the night before or the night after or on the day itself. The spending must be on the day of Ashura. That is what is required. Not the consuming. Many people get mixed up and think, you have to consume it on Ashura day to get that virtue. It's not that. They want to know, should it be consumed on the night before or the night after? So it's got nothing to do with the night before, the night after, or the day itself as far as consuming. But as far as purchasing, yes, that should be done on the day of Ashura, the day itself. Mawassa ala ayali fi nafqati, this refers to the day of Ashura, on that day. So, therefore, there is no basis for the additional things that people have added. It says Yoma Ashura, on the day of Ashura. So it refers to the day. So you can go and buy maybe, your favorite chocolate. I don't know if people like Ferrero Rocher or what's these other nice ones, Marana, whatever it is, right?
Lindt.
And so on, Raffaello's and all of that, right? You bought a box for your family. This is extra thing that you bought, spending little extra on them. Now you brought it on. You don't expect them to finish the whole box of lint in one sitting. They must finish it on the day of Ashura. They have to eat that whole box of Ferrero on one day. Obviously, this doesn't mean. It means that you bought it, now you brought it home. They may have had one or two. But for the next few days, they're going to eat. For the next few weeks, they're going to eat. So the virtue has been acquired in this manner. So I think these misunderstandings have to be clarified. There's no Ashura Dawat. That's another thing I think that's very important to clarify, Maulana. So the fourth thing that is not in line is to have an Ashura Dawat. There are some families where they're actually, you know, inviting the whole family to a meal and in under the guise of or under the name of Ashura Dawat. So they shouldn't be done on the day of Ashura itself that you are now having a special dawat. You can invite your family whenever you wish to, but you should not invite them on the day of Ashura because of this riwayat, of this narration of, and call it an Ashura invitation or an Ashura dawat. Because there was no concept of an Ashura invitation or an Ashura Dawat in the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his illustrious companions and the eras of Islam that came after that. So these are things that need to be put in line, that need to be corrected, and we must keep whatever has been given to us in terms of our teachings within the limits that it has been given to us. We should not add things on from our own side and give our own interpretation to things, because that would then lead to innovation in Islam, and that is one of the worst sins that any person can commit. If, for example, the head of a family starts off a certain practice which has got no basis in Islam and the family continues with this for generations to come, then Allah forbid, the sin of that will be carried by the person who started this whole thing off. So those people, they may be elderly men or women in the family, or they started this practice off and then they passed away and the family carries on with it for generations. Now the guna of that will be coming on the heads of those people who started it off. Like it says, man sanna sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha إلى يوم القيامة لا ينقص من أجورهم شيئا أو كما قال عليه السلام. The one who starts off a good practice and he sets a good practice in place, obviously something that is within the limits of Islam, then he gets the reward of it, and all those who follow right till the day of Qiyamah, and his reward will not be decreased in any way. Then it, the same thing also applies to the person, man sanna sunnatan sayyatan falahu wizruha wa wizru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamati. The one who sets a bad practice, who establishes a bad practice, then he gets the sin of it, and all those who practice on that bad practice, all will get he will get the sin of all. His sin will not even be reduced. He'll get the full sin of all those people who practice on it. Right till the day of Qiyamah, the sin will accumulate. May Allah Ta'ala save us from doing any such thing in the name of Islam that will cause the sin to be recorded against us till the day of Qiyamah, or till the time that practice is in place, because we were the originators of an evil or a bad or an unfounded or a baseless or an innovated practice in Islam. So this is something that we should be very cognizant about as far as Ashura is concerned. The spending part is completely established, but within its limits it must be done. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to make amal on the Shariat in the manner that we should be practicing on the Sharia, in line with the principles of the Sharia that have been laid down by the authorities of the Sharia. And yes, of course, regarding the fasting, that is something that is known to one and all, that 9th and 10th, that is tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, or the 10th and 11th, that could be Wednesday and Thursday. We have the option of fasting. You should not fast a single day. It is undesirable to fast only on the day of Ashura itself, because of the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said that Khaliful Yahud opposed the ways of the Jews. Sumu yawman qablahu or yawman ba'dahu, fast a day before or a day after. So we should try to fast as well, and on Ashura day go and spend little extra on the family with the intention of gaining the barakah, as was explained in detail. These are the two primary practices relating to the day of Ashura. All other things that are associated with the day of Ashura mostly have got no basis at all. The many virtues that are mentioned, that, you know, on the day of Ashura this happened and that happened and that happened and that happened to this Nabi and that Nabi, according to most of the ulama and scholars, these things are not authentic. Ma sabata bi sunnah. Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlawi Rahmatullah Ali, great scholar, he has refuted most of these things and said that these things did not. Yes, the one authentic incident is regarding Musa alayhi salam, because that comes directly from the riwayat in ahadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam and the salvation of Bani Israel from Fir'aun on this particular day. That incident is established from the hadith. But many other things, like Yusuf alayhi salam came out from the prison, and other such things that are attributed, most of it is not really authentic, and it has no bearing on the virtue of Ashura. Ashura has its virtue independent of whatever historic events that may have happened before or after. Because that also covers the tragic incident of Karbala, in which the illustrious grandson of our illustrious Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hussein bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, this great and amazing leader, you know, of the Ummah, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, and his 70 members of his family were made shaheed in the battlefield of Karbala in Iraq by a bunch of, you know, cowards and deviated people who attacked the grandson of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his noble family. This tragic incident happened on the 10th of Muharram, but this was about 60 years after Ashura had been already promulgated and established. So it has nothing to do with the virtue of Ashura. Ashura has its independent virtue. It is a tragic coincidence that Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred on this day of Ashura. Therefore, all the practices that are relating to, you know, some people read some marsiyas and qasidas and so on in these 10 days or 10 nights of Muharram in the memory of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and so on, none of these things are established practices. Islam is absolutely clear, and it is crystal clear. There's no room for anything to add on in our deen. So Ashura is simply two things: fasting, roza as we call it, and spending on your family, for which there will be barakah in your rozi. So keep two words in mind for Ashura: roza and rozi. Spending, your rozi is increased, so rozi. And roza is fasting. You just keep these two things in mind, and that is the essence of the day of Ashura.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakallah Khairan. Our only rozi has come to an end for today. And we say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.